Good evening. Can you hear me? Is this working at all?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't hear it. Okay.
Maybe
it works. This is fine. Okay, because I'd rather not raise my voice. I'd rather this raise my voice instead of my voice raise my voice. Welcome. Okay. First of all, it's nice to see everybody back after Yontif. Welcome back. Hope you enjoy the better weather. Hopefully no more snow on Monday nights. And I don't think so. So, it's now Sfiras HaOmer, so let's talk a little bit about Sfiras HaOmer. First of all, what does the word Sfiras HaOmer mean? And all the little kids don't really know. They don't just, you know, assume Omer is Omer. Omer is a... Close. I was hoping you'd say that so I could say no. Omer is a... Measurement. It's a measurement, and that's the amount of stuff that's brought for a carbon. Therefore, we call the carbon omer, but it's like a quart or a gallon. So whatever amount that the omer, carbon omer on the second day of Pesach is the quantity of an omer. And when we count Sfiras HaOmer, we count from the days that we have brought the carbon omer. And that explains a gigantic machlokas that you might or might not be familiar with, whether we say hayom. Well, last night was 13, right? So Hayom Shlashasa, Yom Shehem, Shavua Chodesh, Yishayamim. Either Ba or La. So what's the machlokas of Ba or La? That's going to depend on what are we in fact counting. If we are counting La to the, La is to the Omer, to the bringing of the Korban Omer. And that's in fact not what the, well, if you back up, the Shulchan Aruch, Svardim don't say La Omer or Ba Omer. They say Hayom Shavua Echad Shehem Shisha Yamim. Period. The Rama says you should say, you're all Ashkenazim, right? What do you do? Father Rama, what do you say? What does the art scroll do? There are three versions of the art scroll. The three versions of the art scroll, there's the old version, there's the RCA version, and there's the new Wasserman version, and between one says Ba, one says La, one says both. One says either or. So if you assume it's from the bring of the Korban Omer, it would be La. La, to the Omer, to the bring of the Korban Omer. If you say Ba, Ba means in. In the Omer, in the, I guess what we call, during Sfiras HaOmer. What's right? Well, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say anything. Doesn't say Ba or La. You don't have that word. The Rama says Ba, Omer, and the Mishnah Berurah points out that a lot of Rishonim argue on the Rama, and the Mishnah Berurah's conclusion is not like the Rama, which is very unusual. Mishnah Berurah's conclusion is like the majority of the Rishonim, Achronim, that you say La. So there's a funny story, yeah, I think it's funny. Apparently, people who are Talmidim of Soloveitchik noted or heard that he was Machmir to quietly say, just to be honest, both opinions, he said both. I'm not saying to you that that's what you should do. It happens to be that he said both. Apparently, at some NCSY convention sometime during this time of the year, back, I don't know, a decade or two or three, so they davened Maariv at whatever event they were having, and whoever the NCSY camper got up and said, Sfiras HaOmer. And he said, Hayom, whatever, Ba Omer. And then he said again, Hayom, whatever, La Omer. Which is sort of funny because, you know, it's the kind of thing that great tzaddikim might do to fulfill two opinions. It was sort of funny to see. I guess Nancy's wife, kid had heard this, that Soloveitchik happens to say both, to fulfill both opinions. So he figured that's what he would do also. What should you do? You should do, I guess, if you know what your minhag is, that's great. If not, Mishnah Berurah's conclusion seems to be to say La Omer. Okay. Now, is Sfiras HaOmer today Midoraisa or Midorabanan? Well, why should it be Doraisa? Because the Torah says, Isfaratim Lachem, count 50 days, count 7 weeks. So it should be Doraisa because the Torah says to do it. Why should it be only Dorabanan? Yeah, because we're counting from the carbon and there is no carbon. So that fits in with what we just said. If the whole point is counting as La, if we would assume it's La, it's counting from the Korban Omer. Well, we don't have a Korban Omer from which we could count. On the other hand, if you assume the mitzvah is to count, well, actually, there are different psukim in the Torah. There's one pasuk that says, from the Korban Omer, count 50 days. And there's another pasuk that just says count 7 weeks without mention of the Korban Omer specifically. So if we assume that we're just counting from the Korban Omer, so it would be only Drabana nowadays. But if we assume that's just a mitzvah account, even without correlation to the Korban Omer, we would assume that today is only Drabana, which is how most poskim do assume nowadays, that in fact it is only a mitzvah Drabana nowadays. Does that mean we can't see a bracha on it? Well, we do see a bracha on it, because we do see brachas on mitzvahs Drabana, like, for example, Hanukkah candles and what? Kriyas HaMegillah and Shabbos candles and Erev, right? On Erev to the Yontif of Shabbos, Erev. We say those are all the Rabbanan, and we do say brachas on Dinim Rabbanan. Now, what happens if a person didn't count at night? So you're probably familiar with what you've been doing since you were younger, that if you missed a night, that you say it the next day. Now, do you say it the next day with or without a bracha? You say it without a bracha. It, in fact, is a discussion. Let me explain to you what the discussion is. So there's a Gemara in Menachos, Daf Ayin Beis, that talks about cutting the Korban Omer, right? Omer was wheat, were stalks of wheat or barley, help me. Wheat or barley? Shtei Halechem was wheat and Omer was barley, maybe? Could that be? Okay, that sounds familiar, perhaps. So, they would cut the Ktziras HaOmer when? Anyone know what time of the day or night they would cut it? They would cut it at night time. And the Mishnah, the Gemara, or Mishnah says in Menachos Daf Ayin Beis, Kol Halayla Kosher the Ktziras HaOmer. Just like we know that any halacha that you're supposed to do during the day, you can't do at night. So this is halacha that you're supposed to do at night. You're supposed to cut the Omer, and reenact that by counting Sfiras HaOmer, and that should be only at night. So it sounds from this Gemara that it has to be, just like the Omer had to be cut only at night, so too we could only count Sfira at night. And therefore, if you miss the night, then there's nothing to do tomorrow. No point in counting with, without, it's just, you missed it. And therefore, don't count. You missed it. However, there is another Gemara which seems to be contradictory, which is just a page away, so it can't be too contradictory. A page away in the Gemara in Menachos that says, ideally, the cutting of the Omer should be at night, but if you didn't do it at night, then go ahead and do it during the day. So, if I forget at night, again, that's talking about the cutting of the Omer, but we assume that the cutting, that our counting Sfiras HaOmer is parallel to the cutting of the wheat stalks that they did for the Korban HaOmer. So if that's the case, if that second Gemara is the right one, so if you didn't do it at night, you should just do it during the day. You should do it at night. If you didn't, you should do it during the day. The same way. Just like at night, you should do it with a bracha. You missed it, so do it during the day with a bracha. That's what it would sound from that Gemara, that if you didn't do it at night, just do it during the day, same way, with a bracha. That's not what we do. What do we do? We have, it appears, a machlokas between two different pieces of Gemara, and there are different Rishonim who take different sides of these, which Gemara is the real Gemara, is the right Gemara, is the right way to look at it. And what happens when we have a question of how to follow, or a machlokas when it comes to a bracha, what do? We play it safe. So how can we play it safe? If one option is, you missed the night, you missed it, you're gone, you can't do anything else. No point in counting Sfira, no point in saying a bracha. And the other presentation sounds like, you missed it at night, just doing it in the day. Say a bracha, count Sfira with a bracha. And what do we do now? Well, we take the best of both worlds, or we're machmer on both sides of the coin. Maybe one opinion is right that you should count, so we'll count, but maybe the other opinion is right that you can't say a bracha, so we just don't say a bracha. That we take that compromised position, straight down the middle, being machmir on both sides, to be machmir, to yes count, but also being machmir not to, God forbid, say a bracha levatala, so we don't say a bracha levatala. That's how we do it. Now, those of you who were there here last year, 2 years ago when we had our Sfiras HaOmer shir, we mentioned a very important, in the yeshivas they call it a chakira. Chakira is a sort of theoretical investigation into what is the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer. Now, it's going to sound very theoretical at first, but I'm going to show you at least three different applications of how to look at it. Is Sfiras Omer one gigantic mitzvah? Is it like an octopus? It's one big octopus that happens to have 8 different feet, 8 tentacles. It's one gigantic mitzvah called Sfiras Omer. There's one mitzvah, Sfiras Omer, happens to have 8 different sections to that mitzvah, 8 different parts to that mitzvah. The other way to look at it is, no, this is a 49 mitzvah opportunity, 49 separate and independent mitzvahs. So what's the difference? Either way, you have to count every night. Why do you have to count every night? Because it's either one of 1/49th of your mitzvah, or it's a mitzvah along with 48 other mitzvahs that you have to do. So what's the difference whether it's going to be a gigantic mitzvah with 49 parts, subsections, or 49 different mitzvahs? Let's talk about a few of them. First of all, this is, any of you have any brothers who became bar mitzvah during Sfira? If you had a brother and he would have a bar mitzvah during Sfira, this is what he'd be speaking about. What do you do if you become bar mitzvah during Sfira? I assure you, any bar mitzvah that you go to, if you could somehow find online, like Google search for any bar mitzvah drasha for this week, you'll find this is what they talk about. What happens? And the same question is going to be if there's a ger. If a ger is megayer during Sfiras HaOmer. So, it doesn't hurt to count Sfira without a bracha, but kind of a person who's megayer during Sfira or a bar mitzvah boy who becomes a bar mitzvah during Sfira, start count once he becomes bar mitzvah on the 12th day or the 28th day of Sfiras HaOmer. Well, it should depend. If we say that there's one gigantic mitzvah that has 49 parts, is that person going to be able to fulfill the whole mitzvah? No. So there's no point in saying a bracha of something you can't fulfill. On the other hand, if we assume there are 49 separate mitzvahs, okay, so they weren't able to do the first 12, but the latter 37 they could do. And therefore, if a person becomes a bar mitzvah or is megayer in the middle, then whatever they pick up, they could do their other mitzvahs, whatever mitzvahs are left. That would be the first application of this theoretical question. How do we paskin, by the way? I saw in a sefer called Piskei Tshuvos that if the bar mitzvah boy has been counting until now and hasn't missed a day, then he can continue to count with the bracha. Even though the first part, the first 10, 12 days were not yet, he was not yet mitzvah, and from a Doraisa perspective, he might have not really done it, but he could continue counting. How are you? Welcome, welcome, welcome. Nice to see you. That's the first application of this fascinating question, whether or not Sfiras HaOmer is 49 tiny little mitzvahs or one big mitzvah with 49 little parts to it. The next application would be the following. Let's say, and listen carefully to how I say it because it's not what you're thinking, you're not sure if you counted yesterday. I'm not talking about a case where you missed that night and you remember during the day. I'm talking about a case where you're up to tonight, you're ready to count tonight, and you don't remember what happened in the previous 24-hour period, if you counted at all. So what do we do in such a case? Could you continue counting? I mean, you could count without a bracha, it's cheap. It's easy to do it because there's nothing wrong, nothing hurts. But could you make a bracha going forward if you're just not sure what happened on that? Again, yesterday was the 13th, so let's say the 12th. You just have no idea what happened on the 12th, both at night and day. You just don't remember. You were, I don't know, you're drunk for 25 hours and just have no recollections of what was happening. So here, there's the Trumas Hadeshin. Trumas Hadeshin, we've quoted before, and we like him because he's different. Why is he different? Because I don't remember what we said about why his Shilas and Tshuvas are different from everybody else's. Trumas Hadeshin lived, I don't know, 1300s, maybe 1400s. Because he made up his own questions, right. So he made up his own questions. So in the Trumas Hadeshin, he says the following. Listen, we have our math major here. So let's do a little bit of math. Math doesn't always work when it comes to brachas, because when it comes to brachas, if there's a suffix, usually we're mekel. But listen to this mathematical setup. There are two possibilities. It happens to me that I just told you the two ways of looking at Sfiras HaOmer as one big mitzvah or 49 little mitzvahs. It's actually machlokas rishonim. So some rishonim say it's one big mitzvah, some rishonim say 49 little mitzvahs. Well, let's say the one who says it's 49 little mitzvahs is right. So should I, let's say I missed yesterday. Should I continue counting with a bracha? If I missed yesterday? Well, yeah, because I could do the other 37 mitzvahs that are left with the bracha. Nothing to do with the previous 12 days that I missed or didn't do. Okay. So every day is separate, so I'll make a bracha. But maybe the other position is right. That's all one big mitzvah, and if I miss one part of a mitzvah, I can't continue counting with a bracha because I don't have the mitzvah in its fullness. Now listen. Let's say I'm not sure what I did yesterday. So maybe I did count, maybe I didn't count. I don't remember what I did yesterday. I blanked out about yesterday. So maybe I did count, maybe I didn't count. That's one out of two possibilities. Now I have another question. Even if I didn't count, then could I continue counting with a bracha if I missed a day? That itself is also a machlokas. So of the four, if you draw a little box of the possibilities, you'll find that three out of the four possibilities is that you can continue with a bracha. What do I mean by that? If you say that there are 49 different mitzvos, so you could continue counting with a bracha whether you said it yesterday or you didn't say it yesterday. If, on the other hand, we paskin like that opinion who says that it's one big mitzvah, well, still, I might have said it yesterday. I just don't remember if I did or didn't. I might have. And if I did say it yesterday, then I could continue counting with a bracha. The only one of the four possibilities that would prohibit me from continuing to count with a bracha is if we assume that it's one big mitzvah, and therefore, if one big mitzvah, if I miss part of it, I can't continue counting with a bracha. So it's one big mitzvah, and I did actually miss a day. That's the only time that I can't continue with a bracha. So only one out of the four possibilities would say that I can't continue with a bracha. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, since three out of the four possibilities would yes allow me to continue counting with a bracha, again, perhaps we assume, this is called a sfek sfeika, a double suffix. Perhaps we assume like the position that every day is a different mitzvah, so I don't care what happened yesterday. It's a new day today, a new mitzvah. And even if the opinion that says it's all one big mitzvah, and if you miss a day, you're in trouble, well, maybe I didn't miss yesterday. I'm just unsure, I'm uncertain what I did yesterday. So, that's a double suffix, and since it's a double suffix, I would be able to continue. Halacha lemaisa, I would be able to continue to count with a bracha if I'm unsure if I missed yesterday. Yeah. Good. That is another application of this question, whether or not Sfiras HaOmer is one big mitzvah or two, or 49 little mitzvahs. To just give a final application, what about the following? Let's say last night you forgot to count, and today you forgot to count, and then all of a sudden at around 8 o'clock tonight, you look at the email from Karen. Karen's email says, Rabbi Orlin's giving me a shiur on Sfiras. Oh my gosh, Sfiras HaOmer. I forgot to count last night and today. So let me quickly count now. What time is it now? It's 8 o'clock, which is after Shkia, but before it says HaKochavim. What do we call that twilight zone? Twilight. How do you say that in Hebrew? Ben HaShemashos. So what's the halach of Ben HaShemashos? Ben HaShemashos still daytime? Or is it already nighttime? It's a suffix. It's a question. We don't know. We actually don't know. I'm not sure if it's machlokas or I think we actually don't know. It's a suffix. We don't know. This is called suffix yom and suffix laila. So you remembered to count Sfiras. You didn't count all of yesterday, all of last night, all of today until now. And now at 8 o'clock you remembered. You counted. Might as well. Maybe it's still day. According to one half of the suffix, it's still day from the previous day. So you count the previous day. So now, could you continue counting with a bracha, or can you not count with a bracha? Now you think this never happens. I assure you it will happen to you this year. It happens all the time. It always happens. I'm telling you, this question comes up all the time. Because you only realize that you missed a day when it's just about almost too late. That's just how life works. So, let's think together for a minute. If it's one big mitzvah, you missed a day, you lost it. If it's 49 little mitzvahs, then of course you could continue counting with a bracha, because you didn't do one of the mitzvahs, but you could still go ahead and do the future mitzvahs. Okay. And even according to the opinion that says it's one big mitzvah, and you can't miss a day if you want to continue counting with a bracha. Well, even according to that opinion, there's one side of the coin that maybe this twilight zone, this Ben HaShemashos itself is really still the earlier day, and the counting did work. So therefore, if, again, we have the same sveka, if it's 49 different mitzvos, so even if I missed yesterday, I could still continue counting with a bracha. And if we assume that it's all one big gigantic mitzvah, and I can't miss a day if I want to continue counting, well, I might have counted yesterday. Because it's a suffix whether it was yesterday, if whether I counted, it was a suffix whether it was there or not. And therefore, again, three out of the four possibilities enable me to continue counting with a bracha, and therefore that is halach l'maisa. If you only remembered during Ben HaShemashos to count yesterday's count, you can still continue counting with a bracha. Okay, that was the math. We're finished with math for tonight. And now, we'll talk for a moment or two about are women obligated in counting Sfiras HaOmer? So can we just take a vote? Who thinks women are obligated to count Sfiras HaOmer, whether it's Daraisa or Darabanan? Who says women are obligated to count Sfiras HaOmer? Who says women are not obligated to count Sfiras HaOmer? And who doesn't say? Okay, so let's start like this. We should assume that Sfiras HaOmer is a mitzvah saseh. Whether it's Daraisa or Darabanan doesn't matter. It's a mitzvah saseh, shazman grama. So presumably women ought to be peturas. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam shehakol nehyeh bedvarav. However, there's a Ramban. The Ramban, and we're going to have to think about this for a minute. The Ramban says that Sfiras HaOmer is a mitzvah saseh sheh ein hazman grama. That is not time bound. Could anyone explain to me why that should be? Can anyone tell me why Sfiras HaOmer is not a function of time? I mean, doesn't the Torah say count 49? I mean, we do it this time of the year or not in the middle of, you know, November. Doesn't that make it time bound?
There's no actual time.
What do you mean?
There's no set time. It needs to be at night. It doesn't say that in the Torah.
At night, maybe not, but it does say that you should do it at a certain time of the year, right? Doesn't give a date when you say like count Sfiras HaOmer as opposed to?
Yeah, but you women are obligated to keeping Yontif. What's the difference?
Keeping Yontif, that's because they're los sases. That's an Isra Malacha. And as far as Sukkah goes, women are not obligated to sit in Sukkah. Why? Because it's only those 8 days of the year and not in the middle of August. It's a Korban Tzibur, so everyone has to bring a Korban Omer, I guess. That's a good suggestion. I don't know if anyone says that, but that's a good suggestion. Because the reason why no one says that is because it's one mitzvah of Korban Omer, and this is a separate and independent mitzvah. But you're saying if you have to be part of the Tzibur to bring the Omer, so you should have to also, you know, maybe do whatever draws out, comes from, grows from the Korban Omer. I hear that. Interesting. Davening today. Tamidim. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Perhaps we could argue on it, but that's a good point. So I'll tell you what some people say why it's not considered time bound. Of course, it's time bound. It's only this time of the year. How does the Torah articulate when to celebrate Pesach? On the 15th day of Nisan, whatever. And what about Sukkot? On the 15th day of Sukkot, whatever. How do you celebrate Rosh Hashanah? On the first day of Chodesh, whatever. How does the Torah say that you should count Sfiras HaOmer? Mimachras HaShabbos, on the day after the first day of Pesach. Is there a date? No. And therefore, one could suggest, it indicates to you when in the year you should say it, but there's no date written in the Torah. And therefore, some suggest that's why it's not considered a Mitzvah Saseh Shazman Grama. I'm sorry, therefore it's not Zman Grama, because it's just Mimachras HaShabbos, there's no set date. By the way, the Tzedukim used to always celebrate Pesach they always used to start Sfiras HaOmer on Sunday, because they understood the word Shabbos to be literally Saturday. We, the traditional Jews, for the past 4,000 years, assume that Shabbos doesn't mean Saturday, it means holy day, day of rest, and therefore we could have our Sfiras HaOmer whenever Pesach falls out. There's a very cute, I say cute, I don't mean in a, you'll see what I mean. The Soloveitchik followed the tradition of a sefer called Divrei Malkiel, who suggested, we're trying to explain Ramban. There was Ramban, you and I would assume that women are exempt because it's a mitzvah saseh, shazman grama. But Ramban said that it's not time bound. We gave one suggestion why it's not time bound, because it's just mimachras hashabbos without any date. Another suggestion that Rav Soloveitchik liked to say is that, you know, if you look in the Ramban who says that it's actually not time-bound, it says, Samach Hei Ayin. Sfiras Ha-Omer. Samach Hei Ayin. Samach Hei Ayin, Sfiras Ha-Omer is not time-bound. And it's a little hard for us to understand because, of course, it's time-bound. It's, right? It's not during January and it's not during October. And it's not during August, it's this time of the year. So Soloveitchik liked to say that there was a mistake. It's not Sfiras HaOmer, it's Samach Hei Ayin, that's Seder HaAvoda. Seder HaAvoda, bringing karbanos. Bringing karbanos, that which Klal Yisrael have to bring, whatever karbanos they have to bring. That's not a time-bound mitzvah, and of course, women are obligated in all the karbanos that Klal Yisrael have to bring. Samach Hei Ayin is Seder HaAvoda, not Sfiras HaOmer. And therefore, this whole discussion has nothing to do with the Ramban, who's talking about Samach Hei Ayin, women have to be part of. Because Sfiras HaOmer is one thing, so this is Seder HaAvoda. That's a cute, whether that's right or wrong, we just have to find some early texts of the Ramban, do some, you know, scholarly research. We do assume, halach lemais, that women probably are not obligated in the sense of obligation, although, women, the Ramban of Ram says that women have adopted it as a chova upon themselves, and the Mishnah Berurah does say that a woman should be careful and therefore consider, since women, men go to, you know, daven ma'ariv regularly with a minyan, so there's a great, you know, it's easy to remember each day, and therefore the chances that they'll be able to count all the days and therefore say a bracha is more reasonable. Women who don't always make it to ma'ariv at night should be a little bit more wary if they should start counting with a bracha. If they think they might not be able to or might not remember to count all the days, maybe it would be better to start counting without a bracha. Because again, since we mentioned 15 minutes ago that one of the opinions is that it's one big mitzvah, and if you're missing part of the mitzvah, you missed out on the mitzvah, so it might be better not to say a bracha if a woman would think that she's not going to actually make it from coast to coast, you know, till the finish line. And just always important to keep in mind, in general, any Sfardiyot here? Any Sfardiyot? All of your Ashkenaziyot. Okay. In general, it's always important to realize that your Sfardi friends never say a birchas hamitzvah on any mitzvah women are not obligated in. So, for example, if a Sfardi woman shakes a lulav, Sfardi woman sits in a sukkah, Sfardi woman counts Sfiras HaOmer, she won't say a bracha anyway, because that's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, that if you're not mitzvah in a mitzvah, you don't say the bracha on the mitzvah. Rina, what was your question? You're asking at least, let me just present one half of your question, and you might be asking the second half also. You're asking, if we're not sure if it's one gigantic mitzvah, or 49 mitzvahs, if we're unsure, we should do what we do when we're unsure, and therefore play it safe when it comes to brachas, and we should say one bracha, because maybe it's one big mitzvah, and not 49 little mitzvahs. Right? Okay, the answer, which we're not going to spend time on, is that even if you assume that's one big mitzvah, it's one big fulfillment of a mitzvah. But there are 49 actions that mitzvah entail. And we have a right to make a bracha on an action of a mitzvah, even though it didn't fulfill the whole mitzvah. Where do we see that? Chanukah. Is there 8 mitzvahs, or is one mitzvah to light Chanukah candles? Or is it 8 different mitzvahs? Maybe it's one big mitzvah. It happens to be there are 8 actions to be done for this one mitzvah. And each one gets its own bracha. Maybe it's not a good proof. But even in the way they say it in the yeshivas is that even though there's one kiyum hamitzvah, one fulfillment of the mitzvah, there are 8 ma'aseh hamitzvot. And you make a bracha on the ma'aseh hamitzvah, not just on the fulfillment of the mitzvah. leave that on the side. Okay. Just one thing to think about. I know this point just goes back to what we spoke about 25 minutes ago. In terms of ba and la, did any of you ever go to Meron? What day did you go to Meron? What? What? I didn't hear. What? Lag Ba'Omer? Did you ever hear anyone say, oh, I went to Meron on Lag La'Omer? I never heard that. That itself might be some kind of indication, at least in our tradition, to say Ba. Just something to think about. I don't know if that has halachic validity and as a halachic argument, but it's just something to think about. Okay. Next question to talk about. Why don't we say Shehechianu when we come to this mitzvah, this once a year, not once a year, 49 times a year, but when we get to the new season of Sfiras Omer, why do we not say Shehechianu as we begin Sfiras Omer? So the cheap way is to say, oh, we do, because it's the night of the Seder, and we say Shehechianu in Kiddush at the Seder. That's the cheap way out. But that's Shehechianu. I mean, for me, I usually daven Maariv before Kiddush, so I already fulfilled the mitzvah. Now I'm going to say Shehechianu half an hour later when I get home and we sit down and we do Kaddish. What? In Israel they do one. Thank you. So they certainly don't say Sfiras Omer at all. I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah. So there's an interesting opinion, the opinion of the Radvaz. Radvaz, I think he was a late Rishon or very early Achron, I think like in the 1400s. Beautiful Shas of Tshuvas. He actually says something fascinating. He says, and listen clearly, that the Shehechianu that we make on the first night of Shavuos is actually the Shehechianu on the mitzvah, besides on the day of Shavuos, on the new holiday of Shavuos, it's also Shehechianu on the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. Now, if that's true, let me ask you a question. What opinion do you think he holds like? Do you think he holds that it's 49 different mitzvahs or one long mitzvah? Sounds like he holds it's one long mitzvah, and we're not really sure if you're going to fulfill it till you actually make it to the finish line. Once you make it to the finish line, you finally finished the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer with all the 49 parts of this one gigantic, colossal mitzvah. Now you could say, Shehechianu, this colossal mitzvah that you actually did finish. That's what it would sound from this Radvaz. Yeah, fascinating. Okay, that's one opinion. That we do say Shehechianu, we say it just at the end, because we don't know if we're going to really finish it. The Baal HaMa'or, was written by a person named Reb Zrachya Halevi. It's the Gadol Hador of the generation right before him. He was like a contemporary of the Ramban. The Gadol Hador in the generation before him was the Riff. The Riff was the Posek Hador. He was like the Reb Moshe Feinstein of the world in his generation. And you can't argue on the Riff. Like, if anyone argued on the Riff, you're like, you know, who are you to argue on the Riff? The Riff was like the king. In Pesach, in that generation. And this guy, Reb Zrachya Halevi, wrote the Sefer Baal HaMa'or, where he argues on the Riff page after page after page. How old was he when he wrote the Sefer? He was 17 years old. Do any of you have brothers who are 17 years old? Yeah. You hear what I'm saying. Okay, so Reb Zrachya Halevi wrote the Sefer Baal HaMa'or, who that we still learn today, critiquing the Riff. And right next to the Baal HaMa'or, in the backs of the Gemara, there's the Riff. The Riff's comments, such as the Psak Halach of the Riff. On the bottom is the Baal HaMa'or, his critiques of the Riff, his disagreements with the Riff. Right next to that is a Sefer called Melchamos Hashem. The Sefer Melchamos Hashem is the Ramban. And the name of his Sefer is the Melchamos Hashem, because what does he do there? He does nothing but fight against the Baal HaMa'or. How dare you critique our great Riff. So the entire Sefer of this Melchamos Hashem is nothing more than arguing and fighting and proving the Baal HaMa'or wrong, and of course the Riff is right. So the Baal HaMa'or, who is 17 years old, but yes, we take him very seriously nevertheless. It should at least be a lesson for us to consider when we raise our children by this Hashem, to think about how we want to raise our children such that we have, you know, you see what people could become when they're 17. I guess they didn't have YouTube then, but something to think about. First, he suggests that nowadays, Sfiras HaOmer, certainly not Doraisa, maybe it's not even a real regular Takana Drabbanan. What do I mean by that? There's some Takana Drabbanan like Netilas Yadayim, like lighting Shabbos candles. But then, the Mitzvah Drabbanan of Sfiras HaOmer is clearly only, even if you hold its, Drabbanan, if it's Doraisa, it's to count. If it's Drabbanan, what kind of Drabbanan is it? It's a Drabbanan that's a Zecher. It's a zecher to the real Sfiras HaOmer when they used to have a Korban HaOmer. So, suggests the Baal HaMor, if a mitzvah is only a zecher, it's not like a full-fledged, bona fide takana d'rabbanan. It's just a zecher, a commemoration of the way it used to be. Okay, so we put it together. We package it, put a ribbon and bow around it as though it's like to make a mitzvah d'rabbanan. And you could say Hashiach Kedushanu even, but push comes to shove, deep down, really, it's a mitzvah that's a zecher, it's a commemorative mitzvah. And maybe commemorative mitzvahs, we shouldn't say shehach yadav. That's what the Baal HaMor suggests. That's one answer. But the next answer was very, very, very famous. And after you hear it, it will be famous here as well. The Baal HaMor says something incredible. When do you say shehach yadav? You say shehach yadav for happy times, right? So he gives a list of where we say shehach yadav. You'll notice that every time is some... There's some simcha involved. When you take a lulav, the pasuk says, "Usmach lefnei Hashem." When it's talking about taking the netilas lulav and esrog is a fulfillment of simcha. It's actually the pasuk says simcha by taking the lulav. Tkiyas shofar. What happened? Why do we say shiachinu? We need to blow the shofar because we're getting saved by our blowing of the shofar. Mikra Megillah. We're talking about how Hashem saved us, so there's a happiness involved. Pidyon haben. We say Shechianu by the mitzvah Pidyon HaBen. Why? Because the Ben has reached a stage of 30 days of development, which is a certain safety in their vitality. Until a kid is 30 days old, it happens to be, by the way. We should never hear from these things, but what happens if a baby dies when it's 3 weeks old? The parents don't sit Shiva. Why? Because until a baby's 30 days old, they're called a Nafel. It's not called a viable child. It's only considered viable and vital and in the sense of that it's a secure, healthy organism. Once it reaches 30 days, that's already reached a point of, this is now, it's a viable, healthy kid. Before that, so what happens at a Pidyon HaBen? You're celebrating the fact that the baby has reached this point of vitality. So again, there's a simcha there, say Sheikh Yana. What about Sfiras HaOmer? Are we happy when we count Sfiras HaOmer? What do we just say the whole point of Sfiras HaOmer is? Sfiras HaOmer is to commemorate a carbon that we don't have anymore. Says the Ramban, very beautiful poetic words, Sfiras HaOmer, ein bo zecher l'shum hana'ah. There's no positive, beneficial, happy thing about Sfiras HaOmer. Ela la'agmas nafshenu. Do you ever hear the word agmas nefesh? Pain. It's a painful kind of thing. L'churban, base ma'avayeno. That's just a poetic way of the house that we desire. Sfiras HaOmer is a very, very, very sad mitzvah. It's commemorating something that we don't have and that we can't do it properly anymore. And therefore, how can you say Shechianu? Hooray, we've reached this wonderful time. We're sad about it. We're not happy that we're reaching a point that we could do this kind of fake Sfiras HaOmer without a real Korban HaOmer from which to count. That's not a simcha. That's not deserving of Shechianu. Shechianu is only said, according to this Baal HaMor, when we're at a time of simcha. And that's a beautiful answer. You could hear that's, he was 17 years old, but the ideas are very profound. That is those are different reasons why we don't have a Shechianu on the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. Let's continue to one very, very short point. Let's say, especially on Lag BaOmer, this could happen. You say, hey, what's today? What's the count tonight? And of course, you should always say yesterday was. And you say, oh, it's Lag BaOmer. Like, you're not thinking, because you didn't say today is 33 days. You didn't say, hey, Yom Shloshim Yom. You said Lag BaOmer. Well, Lag is the Rashi Tevos, is the abbreviation of 33. So did you fulfill the mitzvah or not? Could you count tonight with a bracha? You didn't say Shloshim Yom Shloshah. You didn't say 33. It's Lag. for what would happen if you would say lag or lamed gimel. So the poskim say that whether you said lag or lamed gimel, even though you didn't say the actual count, that might have been a count, and therefore don't count again. I mean, you should count again, saying it properly, shloshim yom, but no bracha tonight, if that did happen. Okay, let's go to the next topic. And before we finish tonight, I want to talk about this year, Lag BaOmer falls out on Sunday, so we're going to have to find out about how to deal with Lag BaOmer this year. But before that, what happens if, let's say you're writing a letter, maybe even an email, perhaps, we could think about that, and you want to date it, and instead of writing, you know, Yom Chamishi or Yom Shlishi, you write Hayom, whatever, Chaf Tes, or Tishave Esrim Yom, L'Sfiras HaOmer. So you didn't say it with your mouth, you wrote it with your hands. So does writing with your hands fulfill the mitzvah? Could you still count with the bracha tonight? Or can you not because you already wrote it? So what would we think? Just, you write L'Sfiras HaOmer. Do you think that would count? What do you say? So you're saying the mitzvah is counting, and counting is only verbally? Is that what you're saying? Right? Perhaps. Okay, any other ideas? Any other suggestions? Whether or not writing would constitute a sphira or not? So, Rabbi Akiva Eger discussed this question, and he thought about the following. Let's say you wrote down the following. Let me tell you a quick story. Ariella is 6 now. Last year she was 5. Some point last year she took something from my son Menachem's Mishloach Manos collection, right? He has his Mishloach Manos collection. She probably took gushers or something, or drawbreakers. And he forced her to sign a document that she wrote in her 5-year-old handwriting. I agree to give Menachem Orlean all of my Mishloach Manos next year. Okay. It sounds cute. And she signed her name, and you see her funny letters, Ariella, going all over the page. Okay, that was a year ago. Lo and behold, about a month and a half ago, Menachem goes to his drawer after Purim, unfolds a paper that looks aged, that cracks as he opens it. You know those papers that you have in your pocket or your pocketbook for months and months and months? It looked like that. And he unfolds and he says, Abba, she owes me everything that she has. So now that put me in a tough situation. But let's say you would write on a piece of paper, I swear I will whatever, whatever, whatever. If you make an oath or you make a swear in writing, does that bind you? Is that an oath? Is that a swear? Is that a promise? So if it's a document and it says, I will pay you whatever, whatever, and there are two witnesses on the bottom, that's not an oath. That's called a contract. We're not talking about that. You just say that, I swear I will, you know, start keeping Rabbeinu Tam, you know, waiting 2 minutes after. Does that bind you? Writing down? So that's what Rabbi Akiva Eger was wondering about. And he said, clearly, writing down an oath is not going to make it an oath. That's not called swearing. In the same way, if you write a Megillah on Purim, that's not called Mikra Megillah. Because writing something is not called articulating it, or saying it, or reading it. Similarly, he says, if you write Sfiras HaOmer, that's not, maybe that's what you meant, maybe this is a little more than what you meant, that's not called counting. That's not called saying Sfiras HaOmer. Chazal HaOmer talking, you have to say it, you have to speak it, you have to say it. And writing something, even though you're conveying messages and whatever, however we want to define writing and written communication, but that's not counting, that's not saying Sfiras HaOmer, and therefore it is not considered as though you counted. And then he says something really beautiful. He says, did you ever wonder why Chazal, Pesach just finished. Before you did B'dikas Chametz, the night before you left your apartments, you made a bracha. Asher k'dasham s'tzav y'sivanu, al b'dikas chametz, al bir chametz, I'm sorry. Did any of you say al bitul chametz? What about the bitul? Why didn't the bitul get an asher kedushana? Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, because you can't make a bracha on anything that's belayv. Bitul chametz is that you consider your chametz to be hefker. You consider your chametz to be meaningless, like ka'afar da'ara, like the dust of the earth. Whenever you do something with your mind or your heart, you can't make a bracha. The rabbis can't institute something to do with your brain. You have to institute doing an action. You make a bracha on doing an action, like bir chametz, not on bitul, not on something with your mind and your heart. Similarly, he says, if something's in your mind, or when you write it, okay, it's not manifest by the writing, it's just an expression of your mind, but you didn't say it. And therefore, he holds, what Vegas suggests, that you did not fulfill the mitzvah in any which way. You did not fulfill the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer by writing it, only by actually articulating it with your mouth. That's just one interesting point to think about. Now let's get halacha l'maaseh. So in 2 weeks, Lag BaOmer will be on Saturday night. Sunday is Lag BaOmer. So you could all go on your Lag BaOmer trips. You're off from work, and you'll go hiking somewhere, light your bonfires somewhere. And the question is, could you get yourselves haircuts on the way to the bonfire? So the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. First of all, we have to remember there are a number of different minhagim when it comes to Sfiras Omer. One minhag is that you count 33 days. Let me rephrase this. In the Shulchan Aruch, there are two separate simanim about Sfiras Omer. One is talking about the halachas of accounting, the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer. That's what we've been talking about until now. There's a separate siman a few pages later in the Mishnah Berurah, in the Shulchan Aruch, about four simanim later, I think, that talks about the avelis that we practice for 33 days that happens to fall out during Sfiras Omer, unrelated to the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer. So remember, when we say, oh, it's Sfira, I can't shave, it's Sfira, I can't go to whatever, I can't go to this party, I can't go to... That's nothing to do with the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer. It just happens to be that the 33 days that Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim died happened during... It just fell out in the same tkuf as the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer. Different siman in Shulchan Aruch entirely. So in terms of the minhagim that we have, there's one minhag that starts from when we start Sfiras Omer for 33 days, and another minhag that starts from Rosh Chodesh Iyar, that goes until right before Shavuot. So those are the two minhagim. But that's not really true. There are actually more minhagim. If you ask the Shulchan Aruch how to count, he says you start from the first day of Sfiras Omer, and then you go until the Ad Lamed Gimel. What does the word Ad mean? What does the word Ad mean? Until, that means up to and including, up to but not including. The Shulchan Aruch assumes it means up to and including. It means you have to be in Avelis for 33 full days, and on the 34th day, that's when you could make a wedding, that's on the 34th day, that's when you could shave, get a haircut, whatever it is, that's when you could listen to music. We don't paskin like that. That's for Sfaradim. We're Ashkenazim. The Ramah argues on that, and the Ramah says, no, on the 33rd day, on Lag BaOmer itself, you could already get a haircut, listen to music, not at night, not the night of the 33rd, but the morning of the 33rd day, that's already enough time of Avelis that we can now begin to celebrate and begin to do whatever happier things that we want. This year, however, is what the Shulchan Aruch talks about in Siman Tav Tzadik Gimel 493. The Shulchan Aruch says that if Lag BaOmer, again, this is for Ashkenazim, for us Ashkenazim, Lag BaOmer is on Saturday night and Sunday morning, so theoretically, we should be able to get haircuts and listen to music Sunday morning. Says the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, that since it's on a Sunday, I'm already allowed to take a haircut on Friday, L'chavad Shabbos. So keep in mind, what day is Friday? Lamed Aleph. Shabbos is Lamed Beis. Sunday is Lamed Gimel. Lag. Shabbos is Lamed Beis. Friday is Lamed Aleph. So on Friday, I'm already allowed to get a haircut. That's going to be this year. You're allowed to get a haircut. Somebody's allowed to shave. Listen to music, do whatever else, on Lamed Aleph, on that Friday, L'chavad Shabbos. Now, what about the following situation? Let's say somebody didn't get a haircut on Friday, Lamed Aleph. Could they get a haircut on Saturday night? Let's say they have a wedding on Lag BaOmer, for example. What? Cutting out Zachom is a different halacha, different sugya. different rationales. So Rav Shlomo Zalman points out the whole heter was to do something lechavet Shabbos. Really, you have to wait till Lamed Gimel in the morning. Us Ashkenazim, we wait till Lamed Gimel in the morning, not at night, but in the morning. A little bit of the morning has to also be avelis. The first moment of the morning has to be avelis. Then the rest of Lamed Gimel, we could be happy and do fun things. But night, no. It happens to be if I do something lechavet Shabbos. So from Friday, I could. But if I miss doing a lechavet Shabbos, so I'm still usher to do the Simcha Dikah things until Lamed Gimel in the morning, and therefore Saturday night, I cannot get a haircut, can't shave, can't, and I don't think listening to music would be permitted at all, because you don't need to listen. It is true, some people like to listen to music Chavit Shabbos, you know, Friday afternoon as you're, you know, ironing or folding laundry, whatever else you like to listen to music, and it's like, you're Chavit. I remember when I was little, we actually had like certain tapes that we liked to listen to Friday afternoons as we were, you know, getting ready. I don't think that's called, you know, Chavit Shabbos music. So whatever tapes we don't listen to on Sfira, we can't listen to Friday or Saturday night. We'd have to wait till Lag BaOmer Sunday morning to, yes, listen to those. I'll just tell you, because it's important to know, but this year it's not applicable for this year. If Rosh Chodesh Iyar, which is when?
Wednesday.
It's not tonight? It's not Tuesday,
Wednesday?
No, it's Wednesday. Okay, so happy tomorrow. Rosh Chodesh. I thought it was Rosh Chodesh tonight. Thank you for telling me. I was almost about to say Yalav Yevon Marav tonight. Could you correct me? I think the Molad was on Tuesday. No, the Molad was.
Yeah.
Okay. How many Chalak? What was that? Okay. So, so if Rosh Chodesh Iyar would fall out on Shabbos, there's a double happy, double Simcha, Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh Tiret together. Then a person, even if they celebrate the first, even if they commemorate the first 33 days of Avelos, they would be allowed to get haircuts and shave lechavod on Friday, lechavod the double whammy, not whammy, the double simcha of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh falling out together. But this year it doesn't apply because Rosh Chodesh is Wednesday, Thursday. Let's finish off with 2 points. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked, what happens if you get invited to a wedding on both halves of Asiyas HaOmer? Meaning, excuse me. I didn't see it inside today while I was preparing, but if I remember correctly, Rav Moshe says that I'm allowed to pick and choose. Excuse me. Rav Moshe says that I'm allowed to pick and choose which half of Sfira I want to. I don't want to say the word celebrate because that's not the right word. Which half I want to
observe?
Observe is a great word. Which half of Sfira I want to observe. So let's say, for example, I have a wedding a week after Pesach, so I want to be able to shave for the wedding, so I could get a haircut for the wedding, so I could say, oh, this year I'm going to observe the second half of Sfira from Rosh Chodesh Iyar and on. This way I'll be able to, you know, go to the wedding with a, you know, clean shave or with a haircut. Or let's say your friend's getting married, Lamed Zayin LaOmer, and usually you observe the last days. So this year you could say I'm going to observe the first day so that I can get my hair cut or shave for that wedding on Lamed Zayin LaOmer. You could pick and choose. What happens if you have a wedding, one person has the wedding in the week after Pesach, another person has the wedding a week before Shavuot, two of your friends. So could you can only go to one? So here, Rav Moshe Feinstein says the following. He has two proofs that would allow a person to go to a wedding in the two different minhagim, meaning that theoretically should be a tarta desastre, a stira within itself, contradictory practices. Firstly, he says the following. A person, we know that a chassan is allowed to get married on, if they want to observe the first part, from Iyar, Rosh Chodesh Iyar, let's say. So, what happens on Rosh Chodesh Iyar? They get married. And then, right, because let's say somebody's observing the second half of Sfira, so they could get married from Pesach to Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and then they'll observe the second half of Sfira. So let's say they get married on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, or tonight, for example. Let's say there's a wedding tonight, I went to a wedding, my cousin's wedding was yesterday, let's say I went to that wedding. Do they have Sheva Brachas? Of course they have Sheva Brachas. But when was their Sheva Brachas going to end up being? The wedding was yesterday or tonight. And that's fine, because they have to Rosh Chodesh Iyar to be happy. Once Rosh Chodesh Iyar comes, you have to already start the, you know, the Avelos. But Sheva Brachas obviously continues. So you see that the halacha is that all we care about is when the wedding, you know, the chas and kala have to have their date of when the wedding was, but after that, everybody else could come to the party, even though the chas and kala, since the chas and kala did it when they were supposed to, so everybody else is allowed to just sort of follow suit. And then he says something brilliant. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch talks about what happens, forget picking and choosing. Let's say there's 2 or 3 weeks that everybody has to observe. From Rosh Chodesh Iyar until Lag BaOmer, those 2 weeks, a week or two, everybody has to observe. There's no different minhag. Everybody observes that. And somebody inappropriately gets married during those weeks. Or inappropriately gets a haircut during that week or two. Do we punish that person? Says the Shulchan Aruch, for whatever reason, says, we don't punish that person. So Moshe Feinstein says the following. What greater punishment would there be than somebody makes a wedding and their friends don't come to the wedding? That's a punishment, right? So therefore, if you had a wedding, let's say, this past week. So you went to the wedding. And now you can say, I'm not going to go to that wedding, you know, the week before Shavuos because I have to commemorate, I have to observe Sfira, I have to observe the 33 days of Avelis then. Well, if you're going to be careful about observing your Sfira, what are you doing? You're going to be punishing that person for making his wedding whenever he made his wedding. Or she made her wedding. And the Shulchan Aruch says clearly, we don't punish somebody for violating the halachas of Sfiras HaOmer. And by you not attending that wedding, you're punishing them. And therefore, based on that, Moshe Feinstein says, you could go to a wedding this past week, you could go to a wedding the week before, and also go to a wedding the week before Shavuos, even though for you, you can't be, you know, one of them is, you know, you shouldn't be celebrating, but nevertheless, you will be able to attend it as an attendee. Let's just finish with one very applicable, even more applicable for the past few years. Could you listen to the Maccabees during Sfiras HaOmer? So before we get into the halachas, I just want to clarify one thing. As far as I understand, and from my conversations with the Maccabees, many of them who daven in our shul, and among them is our very dear Gabbai, and all the music that you hear is somehow created by humans. The problem is they electrify it. So I just wonder this. I don't know this. I haven't found in any of the poskim. When you have a whatever beat that you could do with your fingers or your mouth, when they put it through that synthesizer, and it turns it into something much more funky. Is that considered voice, or is that considered instrument? Again, it didn't start with a piano note, it started with a voice note, but then it was synthesized. So whatever comes out of that synthesizer, I'm not sure how do we consider it. Is that considered voice or musical instrument? I don't know. But let's talk about real, assume there's no synthesized voices, it's just straight a cappella, just straight music from voices without any instrumentals. So Ramosha Feinstein has a tshuva. And Ramosha Feinstein is actually not talking about Sfiras HaOmer. He's talking about all year long. There's a Gemara that says, Zimra, song, music is better, Minalan da Asr. How do we know that it's Asr? And the Gemara goes on to say, whatever, that after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, music is Asr. And if you look at Rashi there, he says, yeah, that's in a bar. Music in a bar, there's drinking, cocktails. And music, that's not the right thing to do after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Other Rishonim, Moshe Feinstein, believe it or not, Paskins like this, holds that even not in a bar, even not with cocktails being served, music is not allowed to be listened to. When? All year long. Do we follow this Moshe's psak? I don't think we do. Most of Klai Yisrael don't follow this. And I think in our generation, it's probably healthier to perhaps not follow this psak. But in the context of that psak, which is just good to know, the Ramosha holds you're not supposed to be listening to music all year long. Believe it or not, I know it sounds crazy, but that's Ramosha's psak. He says that al yedei haradio, listening on the radio, if it's from the mouth, if it's a cappella, just voices, that's mutter. But if it's a kli zemer, then it's aser. And this would be the same, presumably, for us, who don't follow Ramosha regarding all year long, but at least for Sfiras HaOmer, if it's just voices, that should be mutter. And if it's music, that should be usher, and he's assuming that that would be usher even via the radio. You should just know that there are some poskim, I don't think you have to be choshish for them. Rav Vozner from Bnei Brak does actually hold that it's a tape of a cappella. If it's a CD or you download something from an a cappella group, the fact that it's from a tape, not from actual voices, but the fact that it's from a tape, it's as though it's from an instrument. Even if it's a voice from a tape, that's considered like an instrument. But I think we could rely on Rav Moshe Feinstein that if it's just from a voice, even though it's from a tape or a CD or a download, then that would be considered only a voice, and therefore it would be permitted on, and therefore a cappella would be permitted during Sfiras HaOmer. So Be'ezus Hashem, we should all be zocha to very quickly fulfill Sfiras HaOmer without any avelos, and with the real Sfiras HaOmer midoraisa, with the Korban HaOmer, very, very, very speedily. Thanks all for coming. I hope to continue next week. Well, I'm not sure what we'll do. If we'll do more Sfiras HaOmer, maybe we'll go back to something like Shabbos. Hopefully you'll see you in the next week's email. Thanks a lot.